Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Supreme Court rules that the Texas abortion law will remain in place pending the litigation. We're going to talk about this and try to dispel some of the confusion on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, it can be a little bit complicated because the Supreme Court actually ruled in two cases at one time, Whole Women's Health versus Jackson and United States versus Texas, regarding the Texas 6-week abortion ban.
Yeah, and at the same time, this case was argued 1 month before the Dobbs case, which is the case out of Mississippi, and that particular case is now still before the U.S. Supreme Court. So here we have, let's separate the cases, Texas versus Mississippi. The Mississippi case was argued on December the 1st, and that case is before the Supreme Court. A vote has already taken place. We don't know which way it's going, but someone is writing the majority opinion and somebody is writing the dissent.
And that one could very well overrule Roe versus Wade.
That could very well overrule Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey. Mm-hmm. And that likely will come down one of the last cases probably during the last week of June, mm-hmm. but in 2022. That's a different case. And that case there, by the way, if it ultimately overrules Roe versus Wade, could make the Texas case moot. Mm-hmm. Because if it says that it's overruling all the previous decisions of the Supreme Court, then this Texas case is moot. And I'll explain why. Texas obviously filed a bill, and it was passed. And this is the Texas Heartbeat Bill, or the Texas Heartbeat Act. It prohibits elective abortions when the preborn child's heartbeat is detectable, which is typically, as you said, about 6 weeks of pregnancy, using methods according to a standard medical practice.
Yeah, but this act had an interesting caveat. It allows private citizens to file suit against abortionists who are caught violating this law, which is committing abortions after this time limit.
Yeah, and so this has a catch-22. And I'll explain, you may be in favor of it in this case, but may not be in favor of that procedure in other cases. Mm-hmm. In this case, essentially what Texas did is they're challenging Roe versus Wade directly. The other case, Dobbs, was challenging it too. You can't have an abortion after 15 weeks. This one here is essentially you can't have an abortion after the heartbeat, which is about 6 weeks. Either way, they collide with the Supreme Court's decision. So Texas, knowing that, instead of putting the target on Texas, they passed a law, the Texas Heartbeat Act, that bans abortion after 6 weeks. But who's the enforcer? It's not Texas. So you can't come after Texas because they're not the entity that enforces the law. If Texas actually was the entity that enforced it, then you would sue Texas or the Texas agencies, and the case would go up to the U.S. Supreme Court. So Texas came up with another ingenious kind of plan. They're going to ban abortion, but they're not going to be the enforcer. They're going to step out of the way, and they're going to cede that authority over to private citizens. So a private citizen anywhere in Texas can sue an abortionist if that abortionist is caught violating the Heartbeat Act. And then if they win, they can ultimately get damages against that abortionist or the abortion clinic. Hmm. So it gives the right of enforcement to every single citizen in Texas, anywhere in Texas, against any abortion facility or abortion doctor.
Right.
So that's the real difference. So what was before the court were these two cases, one in which the United States Department of Justice sued Texas, and the other in which some private abortionist sued also in this particular case. Now, the Supreme Court, as it relates to the U.S. Department of Justice, said, we're not even going to consider your petition. We granted the petition. It's called improvidently granted. In other words, they should have never granted it. I agree with that. It was premature And so that case is gone.
And they dismissed that case, stating that the federal government did not have proper standing to file the lawsuit.
That's right. So that one's gone. And that means that the federal government cannot come in there and file it again. The other one is the private lawsuit, the Whole Women's Health versus Jackson. They had a bunch of defendants that they had as part of the lawsuit. Mm-hmm. So the court ultimately dismissed most of their defendants. But they also agreed that the litigation could continue down below. Now, here's the thing. The constitutionality of the actual heartbeat bill itself was not at issue before the high court. So the court never ruled on the Texas Heartbeat Act per se. They never ruled pro or con regarding whether you could ban abortions after the heartbeat is detected. What was before the court is, could they have a suit below to challenge this delegation of authority to private individuals for enforcing the situation? So ultimately, the court said, yes, you can continue that litigation, but only against a small number or maybe one particular defendant, knocking out most of the defendants. So that litigation will continue. Bottom line is, the Texas Heartbeat Act still stays in place pending the litigation. It's going to take a while for it to come back up to the U.S. Supreme Court because it's got to go through all the litigation below, the lower court, and then finally back to the U.S. Supreme Court.
And it was interesting that the different justices were divided and joined in different instances in this ruling. We had Justice Gorsuch, who issued the opinion and was joined in whole by Alito, Kavanaugh, and Barrett, in all but one part by Justice Thomas, and stated that the ultimate merits question, whether the Texas Heartbeat Act is consistent with the federal constitution, is not before the court. They agreed on that, nor is the wisdom of SB 8 as a matter of public policy. They all agreed on that. However, Justice Gorsuch's opinion hold that the case cannot proceed against several of the defendants, namely the clerk court, the state judge, the state attorney general, and the private individual.
Right. So that's really essentially where we are. The defendants have been pared down, and the private entities can continue the litigation below against a smaller circle of people. And then the case can ultimately come back to the U.S. Supreme Court. So at the end of the day, the Texas Heartbeat Act was not before the court in terms of its substance. But here's what we have. Some people are going to say they're in favor of the Texas process, and other people are going to say they're not. Where's the public policy line that you draw here? I understand what Texas did because state legislators and legislatures are frustrated with the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court caused all these problems to begin with, because had they not become political by jumping into the abortion arena in 1973 and distorting the Constitution, we would never have this problem. States would be able to do what they do, and the states are much more pro-life than the United States Supreme Court has ever been.
Which is a good sign, because once overruled, it goes back to the states, which is where it should be.
That's correct. In fact, what we have here is Dobbs is waiting in the wings. Right. And if Dobbs overturns Roe v. Wade, then what will happen is all of these laws will go back into the states, and Texas will end up just banning abortion outright.
Right.
And being the enforcer of it. And they won't have to worry about being drugged before the U.S. Supreme Court again.
But the good thing about this case is that the Supreme Court did not block the Texas 6-week abortion ban. So it still stands in place as now, pending some of these other litigations, but it's still in place.
Now, here's the other side of the public policy thing, and this is where Gavin Newsom is coming in. Gavin Newsom says, well, let's do in California regarding guns what Texas did regarding abortion. So obviously, the Supreme Court has ruled favorably regarding the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. So if states actually ban certain aspects of your right to bear arms, they'll lose before the U.S. Supreme Court. So he is proposing, and this was discussed even before this case came down, well, maybe California can pass a law banning certain aspects of weapons or certain kinds of weapons or ammunition, And they're not going to be the enforcer, but they'll give a private right of action to individuals, and they could sue all over California, and they could literally bankrupt these defendants. That's the problem with what's happening in Texas. We shouldn't have to do that, and we wouldn't have to do those kinds of procedures if the Supreme Court was consistent with the Constitution and never jumped into this arena in the very first place. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.